Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, a perfect song for this hour of the show. 215-592-9494. Back to all your phone calls, but we got to talk about the idea of some old friends coming home here. All right, so we'll get to a continuation of an idea that I brought to the table yesterday, maybe with even a more of a reasonable way of making it happen. We'll get to that. But first, so Kyle just brought us some news on NHL free agency, which the Flyers gave Forrester some long-term guaranteed money, and they gave their goalie, Dan Vladar, a five-year contract, $5.5 million per year. That one we kind of knew about. We have another piece of Flyers potential news here. And Kyle, this is one I'd be fascinated by the reaction of this. So from what I saw earlier today, there is some interest in potentially bringing Claude Giroux back to the Flyers. So Pierre LeBrun, who covers the NHL, here's what he posted. Claude Giroux is headed to the unrestricted free agency market Wednesday while keeping the door open to Ottawa. There are some teams for sure that'd be curious if he'd be available or not. Now we have our answer. That was followed up by some more connection to the Flyers and Claude Giroux. Kyle, your first thought on Giroux coming back at this stage of his career? I guess it was 2022 he left here through the trade to Florida. Right, it was 22, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
So 4 years later, potentially coming back, in or out on Claude Giroux coming back home?
I love Claude Giroux.
But
it doesn't make any sense.
What perspective?
It kind of goes against the youth movement.
Well, the timeline's matching up. If you wanted to throw Giroux on a line with Sean Couturier,
yep,
and run back the 2016 Flyers on your fourth line, be my guest. I don't know how many more years Claude Giroux has left of hockey, let alone productive hockey. He's 38 years old.
Yes.
They're not I know we just won a playoff round. We're not them yet. We're not that team yet. I think people are going to have expectations a little bit too high this season. We're not competing for a cup. It would make a lot more sense if we were bringing Giroux back to come win one back with Philly. I don't see that being the case. It's just weird. Would it be cool to get him back and help bring some of these kids along? Yeah. And, maybe he won't be that expensive. So I wouldn't freak out about it. I just don't understand why.
So here's my thing. I'm a sucker for these stories.
Yeah,
I think it's cool when a player plays for a team and then they move on for whatever reason, right? And then the team has a different era, and they can come back and kind of finish the story maybe in a different way. I'm going to give you two comparisons. Now, neither of these happened, but I think it would have been similarly cool. I always thought there was a comparison between Giroux, actually two players. Andre Iguodala with the Sixers, who was a very good player, but it wasn't the right time for him to be here. The team was not good enough around him. And also Bobby Abreu with the Phillies. These were really good players, and then the era just didn't match the player. You know what I mean? When they left, the team was in a different phase. I always thought it would be cool if Bobby could have come back and played with the Phillies when they got good and they had all those guys that he left and when they started. It didn't work out. I always thought the same thing with Andre Iguodala. If Andre Iguodala had come back towards the end of his career, Hugh, had played with Ben and played with the young Joel, I thought that would have been cool. Neither of those things worked out. This seems like a similar thing to where this guy was the Flyers. They weren't any good then. Now they look like they might be good again. Maybe he comes on home.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with Kyle on this because it doesn't fall in line with the youth movement. You're still trying to grow and expand and get better. Because when you talk about a team like the Hurricanes, they're a veteran squad, man.
Well,
see how different they are. And to bring a veteran in, I think that's just probably going to stunt the growth of the young guys. You want to try to build this thing kind of like, I guess for a comparison, OKC. You talk about the young guys that they have there and letting them come along at their own pace and things of that nature. I think that's how you want to try to build this Flyer squad.
Now, how much do we think is left in the tank here for Giroux? Could he sign, Kyle, a multi-year deal, and then by year two or three, he's still got something, and they're closer to a cup? I mean, he's 38 years old. He's played a lot of hockey for almost 20 years now.
He has. Hockey players are weird like that, though.
Well, I know.
Jágr's still playing in a professional league in Europe in his 50s.
Yeah, Jágr will play till he's not on this earth anymore.
So, is there a world where he can be productive in whatever role they have him in, fourth line, right? He can be center depth for you. He can be forward depth for you.
He's only missed one game in the last 4 years. His longevity and his health is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy at his age.
Yeah. I mean, he would be out there a lot for 81, 82 games.
Yeah, you don't seem that enthused, though.
Look, not against it. I guess I would just be like, okay, like, cool.
Yeah.
Love Giroux. I don't get why.
Okay. All right. 215-592-9494. You can weigh in on that, too. The Flyers connected to Claude Giroux here in early NHL free agency. Vladar, new contract. Forrester got some big money. So we're monitoring that. Also, we do have some Sixers free agency news. Quentin Grimes to the Los Angeles Lakers. So Grimes, Adam, when they signed Wade last night, you kind of saw the writing on the wall for Grimes. So Grimes going to the Lakers here. So a lot going on with free agency in both sports. This segment brought to you by Meineke. Summer driving can be a lot for your car. Brakes, tires, batteries, and complete auto care by trusted local experts. Meineke doing car care right. We will also throw another idea out there for another old friend to come back in just a few minutes. First, though, we go to Tasty Cake Dom, who I'm sure has some thoughts on the Sixers here early in free agency. Good afternoon, Dom.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you.
Hey,
Kyle,
how you doing?
How you guys doing?
Dom, what's up today?
Well, Joe, it's beautiful out here today, and I'm enjoying listening to the show, and I was doing my physical therapy. But I think I got too much sun because I thought I heard you say that the Sixers were going to make the playoffs next year.
You may have gotten too much sun. Nah.
Who said the playoffs, making us playoffs?
You.
Said the Sixers?
That's what Dom said.
Yeah.
I said something about the Jets potentially making the playoffs.
Much better, yeah.
Yeah, we were being
much more reasonable.
I think he said the New York Jets are going to make the playoffs, which I think he's had too much sun if he's thinking that, Dom.
No, I'm just saying hope springs eternal.
Yeah. I'm saying, Joe, 35 wins, maybe?
So you seem down on this early Mike Gansey era here.
So Joe, for 41 games next year, we don't have a center.
Mm. Well, you're right about that.
Right?
No, they do not. No.
And for 41 games, they're going to start Don Barlow at center.
And that's not going to work. I mean, it's not. I mean, I like the draft pick last week, but I know why you and many. I think I heard your call a couple weeks ago before the draft with Spike and Ike and Jack. You're talking about a big man and rebounding. And you're right. I mean, their inability to rebound last year was atrocious. I mean, it's
agonizing.
Yeah, it made the games hard to watch. I love basketball. I know you love basketball. When you're getting beat on the glass, it's hard to watch.
Beat on the glass. Yep. Crazy.
Can I throw something at you, Joe?
Yes.
So, for the league minimum, Joe, if you could get 16-8-8 and a Tatum stopper and a Kawhi Leonard, who's back in the Eastern Conference, stopper, and a Giannis stopper, okay, and on transition, you got VJ on the left and Maxey on the right and a 6'11 guy feeding them the ball, can't you take a flyer on that?
Dom, are you talking yourself back into Ben Simmons?
What have I said is that is not right? What have I said that's not true? Joe, I was there. I hate the Boston Celtics. I can't tell you. I despise them. So I was in that building multiple times. Jason Tatum is tied up in – Ben ties him up in knots.
Dude, hold on.
You heard him.
Is this not like me saying Hugh Douglas beats up left tackles?
Dom, here's my thing.
Conceptually,
I love the idea. Even if I could get past the hurt feelings, right, and the way this whole thing ended, Dom, I just don't know if his body's there anymore. I mean, like, he was that guy.
You got it. You got to work him out, Joe? You got to work him out to see if he can get caught. Like, I've had this conversation with Spike. And he thinks I'm nuts, but you got to work him. Like, to just totally dismiss him and not bring him in. Like, if he's willing to come back to the Sixers,
screw him. Dom, it's here's what I'll say.
He's a big dude, man.
The way he frames it, right, with the 6'11 and transition and defense and all that. And Dom, we love your call. Appreciate it.
He does. You did say yesterday he was a good defensive player,
but he was. Well, he was.
So were you.
Yeah.
But
I ain't trying to make a comeback.
But here's the thing.
Ben probably shouldn't.
The comp I gave yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Take a page out of your book.
The comp is Carson.
But he's 30.
Carson Wentz. I mean, you could be 30, you could be 35, you could be 25. If your body's done, your body's done. Like, when I watched Wentz the last couple of years, when he's got in and out of games, right, the Vikings or whatever.
Is his body done, though?
Carson Wentz is done.
Well, not Carson Wentz, we're talking about Ben.
I think Ben is done, yeah.
But what has he done to be done, though? Because it's
back
not like
surgeries.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We forgot about the tidy back.
No, I mean,
forgot about the tidy
back. Tight back is one thing. Back surgeries.
Yeah,
is,
you're right about the back surgery.
Like, all right, the way Dom phrased it, I'll say this. If you could guarantee me that Ben Simmons had the athleticism he used to have, the player that Dom, Tasty Cake Dom, is talking about, and he would come in here, different attitude, league minimum, play defense, right? Rebound the ball. Okay, I could have a discussion in my own hell. I could talk to myself, my own head, about maybe is this worth it. But Hugh, if he's not the same player physically, then what am I doing? Like, he's not that guy Dom described. And then we just have a guy that, you know, forced his way out of here. So, Dom, long way answer, I'm out. I'm out on the idea. If he's the if he was the athlete he was 5 years ago, all right, then we could talk. But I don't think he's that guy. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Max, and then we got to talk about another old friend that could be coming back here, not Ben Simmons. So what's up, Max?
Hey, I'm a first-time caller to WIP. I've been listening to the station for a very long time. So that's first off, I got to say. But I do have to chime in about the Phillies and say that I really think that the team has an opportunity to go deep into the playoffs, and I don't want to see the franchise squander that by Dave Dombrowski just not delivering on a midseason trade. Because right now, in my opinion, I think that the number one priority is starting pitching, because the team only has three pitchers and you need to have at least four. And then you can have the fifth starter just being, you know, sort of whatever. Like, the team is getting sunk by starting pitching, and you just have three really good, and you need to have at least a fourth one that can deliver.
Max, I agree. And you know what? I'm glad that your first call to WIP is putting pressure on Dave Dombrowski, because there should be pressure on him in the next month
to get them to the finish line.
Yep.
He has just profoundly screwed up on bad contracts that are just sinking the franchise right now. And, you know, I really think starting pitching, first of all, pitching wins championships, nothing else.
Okay? I tell Hugh that all the time, Max. I try to tell him pitching wins championships. Well, he wants bats.
Look, yesterday you were saying that giving up Trey Turner for
Ranger
Suarez. That mistake right there. Why did we re-sign Aaron Nola and not retain Ranger Suarez? That was such a bad mistake. I mean, look, clearly the guy is still performing up in Boston. Mm-hmm. But Trey Turner is starting to come around, and I'm madly disappointed in him, but at least he's starting to hit. So the team is starting to come around when it comes to hitting, but as pitching it matters, that's the number one hole that needs to be filled right now.
Well, Max, you're right. They need to solidify the fourth guy, because that guy is going to take down postseason innings. Max, good phone call. Call again. All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of pitching, speaking of a name that came up yesterday on the show, how about that? Yesterday we had a big discussion. Would you swap Trey Turner for Ranger Suarez, right? And I said I would. Well, that name, another old friend, Ranger Suarez, listen to the Phillies show. Ruben Amaro Jr., along with Jim Salisbury, Todd Zielecki, listen to the conversation they were having this morning about Ranger Suarez.
You got to figure out what you want to get. I don't know if they could get all three. I don't know what the quality will be if they address both.
I've got one big one. I got one huge one. But go ahead. We'll talk about it, Ruben. Should we talk about it? I'm going to go bold, man. Go get Ranger Suarez.
Wow.
Go get Ranger Suarez from the Boston Red Sox. I guarantee you he'll come back. I don't know if he's has any no trade stuff on there, but go get him.
He'd come here.
Just get him.
He would come here.
Go get Ranger Suarez. Problems solved.
Mm. How do you do that, though?
It would take Andrew Painter.
Andrew Painter, okay.
And I would do it.
I probably would do it, too.
Wow.
I would do Andrew Painter for Ranger Suarez. Absolutely. I would do it.
Hugh? Are you in?
No, you know what's funny about this? And I just want to say this because I'm petty. Don't sound so stupid when Ruben say it, does it?
Like, I used to be a GM of a baseball team.
I mean, I'm just
pretty good one.
I mean, it don't sound so stupid when Ruben say it.
So
But the price tag, like the price that Ruben's talking about, is a lot higher than in my eyes than what you were proposing.
Yeah, well, because it's a prospect.
Yeah, it's a lot higher. But it's just, it's funny how when, you know, how a lot of this stuff, you know, we're all fans. Hmm. We're all fans of the game, and we're all, you know, sitting back and we're wondering certain things, maybe they'll transpire, whatever. But it's not so silly when somebody says that's been a part of the game and is listening and trying to figure out how to make things better. You know, it's just so be careful about who you call or what you say is a stupid topic.
Well, I mean,
or something like that.
Sometimes you got to right or wrong. I always think the best, well, it could be sports, it could be GMs, Hugh, it could be business. Like, if you make a mistake, fix it, right? Like, you could double down and you could just, like, cross your arms and say, this is what I believed in. I believed Andrew Painter could pitch and he's a big leaguer and he's a star and all that. Or you could say, my bad. And you could go out and fix it. So, and that's, Hugh, I actually think that's what Howie Roseman does better than almost anyone. Howie makes, the one thing about Howie is he does make a lot of mistakes. And if you do the job for a long period of time, guess what you're going to have? Swings and misses. Hugh, I think the thing about Howie that makes him so great is he doesn't stay stubborn. You know, like, let's just use Bryce Huff because he's come up in the last couple weeks, right? What he said? Bryce Huff was a mistake. They whiffed. Other teams would have said, no. This is what we brought in. We're going to make this work and double down. The Eagles are like, nah, we'll just move on. The Phillies obviously made some mistakes with the way they built the back end of this pitching rotation. They thought Painter was ready. Mm-mm, he's not. They thought Nola could sustain for longer than he has, and he looks like he might be cooked. So now they have to fix it, and the other mistake they may have made is Ranger. You know, I don't know what the Red Sox, they're in a weird spot because they're not good. They think they should be good. They just signed him. Would they consider it? But you know, whether it's Trey Turner, whether it's Andrew Painter, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'd make that phone call. Like, hey, Boston, would you be willing to deal him? And then have a discussion. I mean, wouldn't Ranger be the perfect fit for this team?
I mean, he's been here. People love him, you know. And
he's performed.
And he's pitching. Yeah. Riding in on his white steed, saving the day.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
I'm telling you. So they bring him here. So I think he's going to make the All-Star team in the American League. He's pitched like an All-Star. Just leave him here. He comes here, pitches in the All-Star game, just walks over to the Phillies dugout. He's back. Would you trade Andrew Painter for Ranger Suarez right now?
Andrew Painter?
For Ranger
for
Suarez.
Rangers, Rangel?
The proposal by Ruben Amar. Would you
no.
do it? You would not?
No.
Kyle, would you?
I'm on the youth movement.
Yeah, but he's in the minor leagues. I'm trying to win a World Series.
Rangers only 30.
I know.
No, Kyle would do it. You would do it?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. Again, I really don't care about 5 years from now at this
point. And we also don't know if Painter's going to be good.
They're going to suck. The Phillies are going to suck. I don't know if Painter's going to suck or if he's going to be good. I don't even, like, doesn't even Painter right now look like he might max out as a number three starter?
He might.
Well, then what the hell what am I hanging on to that for?
How cool would it be to bring Ranger home?
Great.
Bring everyone back. Bring them all home.
Rangers pips out of the bullpen, too.
When you say it like that, and you talk about the versatility that Rangers brings to the table.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, think about it. You throw him into the playoff rotation, you can put Lizard in the bullpen, you can put Ranger in the bullpen. Like,
it was powerful. Wow. It was so powerful.
He's like, if you created a pitcher for the Phillies to trade for, and I didn't tell you his name, I just said, hey, he's a really productive starter, he could pitch well in big games, he could be used out of the bullpen or the rotation, you'd say, oh, I like that guy. Well, his name is Ranger Suarez, and he used to be here, and they let him go. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls here. We also have an update on a pretty big NBA story, and I think there's a way the Sixers could wedge their way into this. Okay, I'm not talking about literally bringing LeBron James to the Sixers. I miss those days. I used to love those days. Those days are past us. But I actually think we could benefit from the LeBron James free agent thing that's going on right now. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is, of course, the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament. It's heating up in the United States. On Kalshi, you can trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. As we discuss with our soccer expert, Elliot Shore Parks, the United States is playing tonight against Bosnia. And right now, the U.S., as we go into the round of 32, is trading at 4% to win the entire thing. If you want to go and be the ultimate homer and take the United States in a trade to win the entire thing, well, a $100 trade on Kalshi right now pays out $2,179. On Kalshi, you're trading against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. As the probability changes, which it does day to day, minute to minute, during games, you could buy in and out of your position, which is a great way to have one. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI, Kalshi, trade the beautiful game. Welcome back. Midday show. Did you see the new Toy Story, Hugh?
Not yet, man. And something else is something else is dropping soon, too. Another kids movie,
Minions?
I think.
Minions.
Minions. Minions. They're right, yeah.
I think I'm locked into Minions on Friday.
Yeah, because I didn't have a problem with the last couple of Toy Stories, but I guess this one got mixed reviews.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, well, you know, some people are in their feelings about the storyline and all the other good stuff.
Isn't Woody balding? Someone's balding, right?
Yeah, I think Woody is losing his hair. I mean, but, you know, that's
the best of us.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, Woody's getting that age. It happens. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller. We're talking about friends this hour. Bringing back old friends, you know. Claude Giroux, rumored to maybe be in the mix for the Flyers. Kyle's skeptical of the fit these days. And then a day after we discussed the idea of Trey Turner for Ranger Suarez, Ruben Amaro Jr. on the Philly show brought up Andrew Painter for Ranger Suarez. Maybe bringing Ranger back to the Phillies. All right, I got an idea for one more old friend here in Philadelphia. So, Hugh, as you know, the NBA is now being swept up once again with LeBron James' free agency.
Yeah, he was at the crib the other day. He was riding around in his hometown.
So I think it's now the third or fourth time the NBA. I mean, when LeBron's a free agent, it's the biggest.
It's a big deal.
It's the biggest story. Now, this one's a little bit different. I mean, he's old now, and he's not the player he used to be, and he can't just, like, drag you to a championship the way he's done before. But he's still productive. He's still good. He's still an all-star. So that's a big deal. Now, as much as I would love to, I mean, Kyle would be so upset. I would love to do a whole show on bringing LeBron to the Sixers.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And there's just no shot he's coming here. And they don't have a cap room, and he wouldn't come here anyway. So that's not going to happen. But, Hugh, the Sixers could get involved in some way. I mean, they could facilitate. Because when these things happen in the NBA, sometimes you need a third team to facilitate things, to help you move.
Yeah, to try to help because of the cap ramifications and whatnot.
So the rumor out there right now is that LeBron James and Steph Curry want to play on the Warriors together, and they want Anthony Davis to join them. But the latest is that the Wizards.
That's an old-ass squad.
Yeah, it would be. The Wizards, who currently have Anthony Davis, don't really want to trade him. So obviously they want a big man to play with LeBron James and Steph Curry.
I know you're going.
Well, I just have a question. Would you trade Joel Embiid to the Warriors for Jimmy Butler?
Nope.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. Jimmy Butler has 1 year left on his contract.
You're trying. Okay, you're looking at it to try to move money to be out of this cap hell that we're in.
Yeah. So, look, I wasn't Jimmy's biggest fan. He was here. Obviously, he's a good player. He's older now too, coming off an injury. But look, if the Warriors want LeBron and they wanted to play with Steph and they want a big man, I would offer them Joel Embiid to get Jimmy Butler back here. You're off the contract in 1 year. Joel's got 2 years plus a player option, which means it's really 3 years because, of course, he's going to opt in to $67 million 2 years from now. You get you out of jail 2 years early. It's like getting on probation. Hugh, I'm out. Get out of this thing.
I hear you, and that's a hell of a proposition, but when the big man's on the court, man, he's a hell of a player.
When?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of that. But when he's on the court, he's formidable, and I'd rather see him here than somewhere else. I might be waxing nostalgic a little bit.
You are. As if they're going to win with Joel Embiid at this stage of his career. This is rich.
He gives you a better chance of winning.
This is rich.
When he's out there. I do like the young guys, but he does give you a better chance of winning when he's out there.
Who do you think plays more games next year? Jimmy Butler off an ACL injury or Joel Embiid off of
how many we're talking about quality games.
No, just games. I bet Jimmy plays more games off a major injury than Joel plays off of nothing. He's not going to play more than 40 games.
I don't know what the fit is with Jimmy Butler and this group.
Well, I mean, one thing.
Not only that, I'm just. And who coming to see, like, no disrespect, who coming to see Jimmy Butler?
People loved Jimmy Butler.
No, they did.
Loved him.
I'm just.
I don't know. I mean, when I watch VJ, I see some young Jimmy. I mean, I think he's.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I don't know, doesn't it feel like you're kind of blocking VJ by adding a better version of him?
Well, I mean, we don't have
a complete version of him.
I mean, how many good players do we have on the basketball team?
But, Joe, this isn't about, like, we're not bringing in Jimmy Butler to win a championship with this group, lead this group to a championship.
I totally agree.
I just don't know what the point is.
To get off the Joel Embiid money 2 years in advance.
Okay, all right,
that's a huge deal.
Look, fine.
It's basically like you're dumping the salary and you're just getting Butler back as just a placeholder for you.
Is that worth potentially stunning VJ's growth? I don't think so.
I don't think he would stunt the growth as much. To me, this is a different Jimmy Butler at this stage of his career. Like, he's not 29 yelling at Carl Anthony Towns and Wiggins because they're losers
dude,
anymore.
Dude, leopards can't change their spots,
okay.
Joe.
All right. Well, you know what? Then they can buy him out and just get him out of here. It's in the last year of his deal.
All right,
fine. Listen, the Sixers have no chance at LeBron. I don't even know how many people would want him. I saw the morning show at a poll today that do you want the Sixers to go after LeBron James? I think it was 74% no. So I think most people wouldn't even be interested in LeBron anyway. But he's not coming here. But if there's a way the Sixers could benefit from the LeBron thing, which is a thing now in NBA free agency, of course I'd do it. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to all this stuff, the Eagles, the Phillies, the Trey Turner thing, the NL East, and and the idea of bringing all our old friends home. Claude Giroux.
Bring them home.
Ranger Suarez, Jimmy Butler, all coming home this hour. Let's go to John and Cherry Hill as a thought on one of our old friends to bring home. John, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we get Giroux.
Bring him home?
Bring him home.
Now, what is it?
He has the presence, and he has the presence. His presence, his experience can still help his youth grow. He's still a quarterback with the puck. I'd bring him in.
And the other thing, yeah, John, the other thing that's pretty striking to me is he's still really durable. I mean, to play basically he's missed one total game in 4 years. That's pretty remarkable for a player his age that's been in the league for 19 years. Obviously, his body's still cooperating on him.
That's a good thing, and he's really not that injury prone. He's, missed 4 games in 4 years, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically played every game for years and years. All right, we have a bring Claude Giroux home guy here. John, good stuff, man. We appreciate the phone call. See, John's in. If you had to bring one back, who would you bring back? Ranger? Giroux?
Ranger.
Or Jimmy?
Ranger.
Ranger.
Without a question. Yeah. Ranger.
Because he's the best player of the three right now?
Also, it's the only team that's in contention to win a title this year. Between the three.
I think some people might think the Flyers have a shot.
Well, they'd be wrong.
Yeah. Well.
Hold on. No. The Flyers are not even close. They're not. I want everyone to get that out of their heads this season.
Well, I think that's going to be hard for you make people believe.
Well,
they just went to the second round of the playoffs.
You're all wrong if you think the Flyers are going to be cup contenders this year. You're all wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on.
It's going to take more time, guys. That's okay.
I'm going to phrase something a certain way. You tell me if you agree or not. Mm-hmm. We had two winter teams make the second round. The Sixers, in my estimation, have a 0% chance to win the title next year. Zero. I wouldn't say the Flyers are zero.
Oh, dude, it's zero.
It's above zero.
Here's what I'm going to say to everybody.
Very optimistic.
While beating the Penguins was great and 100%. Fun, there was quite literally one team in the postseason field last year that the Flyers had a chance of beating in a playoff
series. That happened to be the Penguins.
And they found them. It was the Penguins. They were ahead of schedule,
or at least
as far as they advanced. They're not, guys. Slow it down.
Well, that's hard for people to want to slow it down. Well, you know it's going to be hard, right? I mean, after all the years of not making any noise to win the playoff series the way they did with all the young players, it's going to be hard to get people to feel that.
It was fun, but you're all going to be disappointed.
Lowering expectations, Quinn, over here. So you would consider a 0%, not even a 0.1. Zero.
The 0.1 is everybody in the league gets injured.
Well, but it's hockey, too. You get in the playoffs, teams
and
make
Vladar runs. Gets, you know, it becomes the greatest, you know, it becomes Brodeur in the postseason.
Well, that's a lot. Yeah. Okay. This segment brought to you by McGurk's. What If Wednesday brought to you by McGurk's. Soccer is on the world stage this summer. Catch all the action at McGurk's. Follow your local McGurk's on social. Visit their events page at McGurk'sPub.com. All right, Cowboy Jim is up on WIP. Cowboy Jim?
Joe, I'm sitting outside a great American company, Coca-Cola. Do I win? And then I may stop by Nike and Procter & Gamble. They're great American companies. Do I win anything?
You don't win today.
No, because it wasn't the right one. It's only one.
Well, how is Wawa a great American company?
Because they're giving away free hoagies today. It's a great American, thing to do.
Hey, it's the chances of Phillies winning the World Series is like Hugh Douglas swimming in the ocean surrounded by eels eating a hot sausage sandwich.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, it's July 1st. Joe Giglio's getting out there. He's getting all the Brysonites, getting them all, the cheesesteak smelling Philly fans all excited. You know, the Chris, it's chest day every day, Middletown. They're all getting excited.
It's chest day every day.
You want people to come back to play for the Phillies,
yes.
The same Phillies team that was no hit in the World Series, lost to Arizona twice at home, lost to the Mets, lost to the Dodgers. You want the same group of people to be back for this.
Well, how is that Ranger Suarez's fault? Like, why?
Well, bring him back. Oh, sure, bring them all back in. Come on, go. You know what's his name from Milwaukee? Bring that. No. So he went to Cleveland. Bring his fat butt back to Philadelphia.
Reese Hoskins.
You know, come on.
You know what? How about someone give me a better idea than Ranger Suarez? You got a better idea, Jim?
Of course he doesn't. He's
what difference does it make? You're so scared of the Dodgers. You're so scared of that. They wouldn't even get past Milwaukee. Come on, they'd have to face Mizorowski twice. So there's no chance. So stop getting everybody's hopes up.
That's not true. There's no chance.
Then Aaron Alec Boehm, All-Star. This is what's the problem with the All-Star voting.
Well, this
they
is Hugh's fault. It's Hugh's fault.
Every day.
It's
this
a joke.
Is ridiculous.
That's the one thing we agree on. And this is mostly Hugh Douglas's fault. He's
stuffing
the ballot box for Alec Boehm. It's a joke. Cowboy Jim, we appreciate
it. Vote for Alec Boehm, everybody.
Stop.
Vote for Alec Boehm.
It's an affront to baseball.
No, he's on the ballot.
The integrity of the game.
I'm voting for the Phillies. He's on the ballot.
No, you're not. No, because you've said all this time, you said nothing about Bryson Stott. This isn't a Phillies thing.
No, it is. I voted for all the Phillies.
You're being a nudge.
No, I'm being a nudge. I'm definitely doing that. But I want you to vote for Boehm first and then every other Philly that you see on the ballot.
Well, there's only three left.
Yeah.
Boehm.
Every other.
Stott,
that's it.
Marsh.
But vote for Boehm first. Make sure you get that one in there first.
You've made it a point to champion the worst of the three players, one.
Yeah, because I think he deserves, with everything he has going on, he deserves to go.
Stop.
Have your fun in the sun, young man. Have your fun in the sun.
Stop.
God, you're the worst.
Children will watch the game. They'll, they'll say, these are the best players in the sport. Shohei Ohtani.
It's not the first time that I've heard that. So it's cool. The absolute worst.
You're ruining baseball for the future generations.
Not.
You are.
I am not
you
ruining
are.
Baseball.
When a kid watches the All-Star game, they'll say, oh, these are the best players, right? And they'll watch with whoever they're watching.
The fans have a say.
And they'll say, there's Shohei Ohtani.
Use your voice.
And there's Bryce Harper. And there's Kyle
Alec
Schwarber.
Don't use your voice.
And
use
there's Alec Boehm. Oh, he's good? And then the parent has to lie.
Alec
Boehm.
Oh,
yeah, he's great. He deserved it.
Use your voice.
No.
Hugh Douglas voted him 100 times because
voted for him at least six times, at least. I'm proud of myself.
You're
and everybody else should vote for him, too, and all the rest of the Phillies. Get him in. We want him in.
I wish this was altruistic. I wish you really just were championing Boehm. But what I
am.
No, I feel you're just.
You're a needler.
You're poking me. You want to? What you want to see is me flip out next week when Boehm starts the All-Star game. That's what you want to see. This has nothing to do with Alec
being
Boehm.
Being a needle attracts.
Yeah.
You know what? For me, he ain't got to start. He just got to go. If he goes.
But he can't. He won't go unless he starts.
Oh, well, yeah. We're there. That's even better. Go ahead and be the starter.
Doesn't that tell you he doesn't belong? If we all agree there's no way he makes the team unless everyone votes him in.
I think
that's, that tells you everything.
He got a shot.
To make the team?
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
We can make it happen.
No, I mean, of course he has a chance to win the vote. That's just people voting. But if he doesn't win the vote, he's not making the team.
Yeah, we got to get him.
Okay. So at least we're on the same page that it's
somebody did send us AI. He was Uncle Sam.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Like that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Go out there and vote. Hope you're proud.
Go vote. I am. I'm very proud of myself.
I retweeted it, but that's not an endorsement of voting for Boehm.
No.
It kind of is. When you retweet it,
well,
it is.
So you're right. It is.
It kind of is.
215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, we've discussed a lot today, and we started with the Phillies and the idea of them winning this division. 2.5 games back now of the Atlanta Braves in the National League East. And I think it is a big deal that the Phillies, if they can win this division, that they do it and they get a higher seed. People are saying I'm afraid of the Dodgers.
Well,
I'm not afraid of the Dodgers. I am trying to be realistic about this thing, that the Dodgers are the favorite.
You're looking for the easier path.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that.
Is that soft that I'm looking for the easier path?
It's a little soft, but I understand where you're coming from. I'm not about to say you're not going to protect your family in a case of a burglary or
something.
Well,
Harold,
like
we established Harold.
Who's
dope.
To say?
I got my money. Joe's not going to do that. He ain't going to go out like that. But like, in this sense, you know, when you talk about stuff like that, I get where he's coming from, but I don't think that's what your premise was.
I love when people equate real life, real stuff to the favorable path in the baseball postseason.
He did say.
Like, how do you make that leap? It's a pretty big leap to make. You wouldn't even protect your family because you'd rather be the two seed.
That was too much because he said, yeah, if everybody fend for themselves. No, you wouldn't do it. I know you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm sure Harold was the guy last year like, we got this. We're going to beat the Dodgers. They're not that good. And then felt ridiculous when we lost in four. Good job, Harold, in Seattle, wherever you are. 215-592-9494. Like, I just, you know, as we go through this, it feels pretty realistic the Dodgers will be the one seed. And so part of me wonders how we would have fared if that was a seven-game series last year, right? Like, the short series, if as soon as the Phillies lost game one, and then the game two nonsense with the base running and the bunt and you know, Castellanos getting thrown out. It felt like it was like we were really in huge trouble. A longer series, you can have bad game.
You like your chances better to have those type of games. I don't know, Joe. Them bats were pretty cold. I mean, I hear you. Them bats were pretty cold.
Well, we did outscore them in the series, and people like to bring that up. Yeah. People like Kyle like to bring that up. Him, Kyle and Dave Dombrowski like to point up the Phillies outscored the Dodgers.
I mean, it is true.
Well,
is that not a fact?
I'm just saying. But in a longer series, maybe that manifests itself in winning the series. Mm. You got more games. Mm. You got more games.
I just think you have a better chance of beating a team that's better than you in a shorter series.
Well, I mean, sometimes.
Less time.
But if we don't get to use Wheeler and Sanchez twice. That's a big reason why the Phillies have a shot.
I understand that, but there's a reason that they have a very large sample size of baseball is because the best, you know, the cream rises to the top.
So you'd rather see the Dodgers in the first round than the second
round? Yeah.
Well, because he's saying, I think we're on the same page. You don't want that momentum because it felt like they started to, once they hunkered down.
No, you're right. They got ugly. You're actually right. They got better and better as the playoffs went on.
Oh, they did.
Especially their pitching.
Yeah. Well, that's
they're hitting, yeah.
Well, the hit pitching started with us. They did pitch well against the Phillies. I mean, that was one of those series where they was like, whoa.
Maybe you can catch them off guard real quick, you know?
Yeah, maybe. All right, our Twitter question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. I haven't checked in on any of these polls today. Let's see where, now I'm seeing the vote for Boehm, the Hugh Douglas's Uncle Sam. All right. Boy, we had quite a turnout on the votes yesterday for the do you want Jalen Hurts for more interceptions?
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Today, is winning the NL East important to you? Yes or no? Hugh Douglas, where do you think people came down today?
78% yes.
67% yes. 33% no. Second poll today. Do you consider the Eagles to be in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks in the NFC?
88% yes.
I'm so going to call BS. A lot of liars out there.
So what is the percentage?
75% yes. People are lying to themselves.
No, here's my favorite. The Eagles are better.
You might have got to talk like that.
Well, because you know that's how they talk.
you know what it is? We're too close to the season starting for it to be anything other than that. It's too close.
We can't live in reality?
Mm-mm.
Well,
not right now.
I just love that. Well, the Rams have never beaten Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts.
Oh, God.
Can you all shut up? Can we stop being idiots?
We are way too close for the football season
If the Rams,
for that nonsense y'all spew.
It's not nonsense. If the Rams end up better, there's a chance we don't ever see them. We'd have to get to them to beat them.
Could the Eagles be better than the Rams this year? Sure. Could the Eagles beat the Rams again this year? Sure. Last year has nothing to do with it, or the fact that they've never beaten us with it, like with McVay versus Sirianni, has nothing to do with it.
Also, I would argue last year we beat the Rams, and the Rams were better than the Eagles.
Well,
I mean, by the end of the season, obviously they were in the championship game, going down to the end with the Seahawks, and we got knocked out at home by the corpse of the Niners.
Like Elliot told us, over the last 5 years, we've seen these two
of the
offenses
is crazy.
We can't do the last 5 years.
Sure, we can.
No, we cannot. Not we can't.
Well.
I mean, even Hugh, even though he's worried that Puka Nacua is going to bite people in the field, but acknowledge the Rams' offense has more talent right now than the Eagles' offense.
No, I don't know because Puka might be out there biting.
I got to tell you, if I'm Quinion or DeJean, I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah, to my rabies or something, he might bite you.
Well, that makes me want to play off 10 yards off. I'm not bumping him at the line of scrimmage.
He would definitely hear, but like, dog, you out there? Well, I would use some more colorful language.
No, but I'm curious.
But I would definitely ask him if he out there biting folks.
How would you handle it, though? Like, let's say back in your prime, right? And you're going up against, Willie Rowe for whoever, the top lineman.
And I knew he was biting people.
And you knew in the offseason that Willie had bitten someone.
Oh, I would definitely let Willie know.
But would it be in your head that he could bite you on the field?
No, but I'd be calling
Vander Holyfield type of situation?
I would be calling him mean and hurtful names.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be like.
But what if he bit you?
No, I'm saying he better not bite me. Because I'd be like, I bite back. I'll talk crazy to Willie. I didn't, even though Willie beat me like a rented mule.
You guys can be exchanging bites.
I'm still be out there talking trash. Hey, I'm not going out without a fight. Not going to do it.
Some of my favorite stories is when you tell us how bad Willie Rofe beat you up.
Oh, no, I got some with Larry Allen. Larry Allen did it, too. I remember we were my first year here. And so they moved Larry to tackle. He was playing guard.
Right.
And they moved him to tackle. And it was a running play because they were on the goal line. And I remember telling
this is 98?
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can find this on YouTube.
And
maybe we can find this.
Emmitt had been running roughshod all over the place. And I said, they slid Larry out to tackle. And I was like, Larry, I ain't no easy win. I was like, I ain't no punk. Like, I'm talking. And Larry laughing with a big old, I'll never forget it because he had a big old dip in his mouth. And I was like, hey, Larry, I'm not an easy win. I said, I don't know what you're coming over here for because it's not going to be as easy as you think it is. Man, Larry folded me like a tent. And I told him, I said, well, I didn't give up. I said, well, I didn't give up. And he started laughing. But it's needless to say they scored. They put him over there because it was.
You're talking about the game here, right? Yeah, the game here? All right. Yeah. I did find the YouTube of this. Ooh, so we're going to have to comb through this. I wonder if the broadcast.
No, it was towards the end of the game because they kind of kicked our ass thoroughly the first half. Yeah, it was bad. But we didn't give up, though.
Well, you know, so I clicked on, there's a video here, 1998, November 2nd, Dallas Cowboys versus Philadelphia Eagles. First play, it's a compilation highlight.
Touchdown.
First play is a running play, and I see Hugh Douglas being moved well off his spot. Well off his spot.
You talk about, you remember that old Eric B. song, Move the Crowd?
Yeah.
They moved the crowd that day. They had everybody on skates. I thought I was at the roller rink. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad day.
Next one was you're standing up and rushing in this one.
Yeah, because after
they got the ball out quick, you didn't get near the quarterback.
It was a bad day. They beat the brakes off of us. That was bad.
All right, we got to see if we can fight Hugh when one of the broadcast highlights. 215-592-9494 is how you hop aboard. I really do think winning the East is important. You know, it's funny we brought up the Trey Turner thing because he's been hot lately. I'm not sensing a lot of people are fully buying into the Trey Turner hot streak here. I'm not sensing it when people called in about Trey earlier in the show to you. I'm sensing people need more than 2 weeks of Trey Turner hitting.
They do. I mean, because we've been down this road before. And people are, you know, they're in a position where they're like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Well, and look, last year he was consistent the entire season. That has not been the case this season. He's had a good run here. But before this week, he hadn't hit a home run since the end of May. I think that's maybe the San Diego series. So it had been a long time since he had hit for power. This week, no, it's been way better. And there's been way more. Oh, I found it. I found the Larry Allen play he's talking about. I mean, they ran a play off the left side, and Larry Allen pushed you off the screen.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went somewhere. Wasn't in the play. Definitely wasn't in the play.
You were not in the play.
They flew into the void.
Into the shadow realm. Into the breach.
There goes Hugh Douglas. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up on their side, all your phone calls. And couple Phillies things. One, we have to go on a blind date with another Phillies trade candidate, as we do every day at 1 o'clock. Kyle will throw the profile of a player at us. We'll decide if we want to trade for that player. I don't know if we've had a single no so far. Maybe today will be our first no.
Told you, we're easy.
We are
putting out on these first dates.
Another word for that is desperate. We are desperate for upgrades in the areas we need for the Phillies. And something Bryson Stott said earlier this week.
Issues.
Which...
That's going to get you in trouble.
Something Bryson Stott said earlier this week about that initial meeting Don Mattingly had with the team when he took over. All that and a lot more nonsense next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.